This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dan Kish, Vice President for Policy at the Institute for Energy Research. We want to get his reaction to President Obama calling for the creation of more nuclear power plants in this country and giving a little government incentive to help the process along. We also want to get Dan's analysis of something the IER has done to suggest just how much revenue this government is missing out on by handcuffing the domestic energy industry. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, we know that there haven't been new nuclear power plants put online for a long time, ever since the Three Mile Island scare, that people have been very skittish about building them, and no one really wants one in their backyard. But during a State of the Union address, the president seemed to finally go along with the Republicans' call for additional nuclear power. Today he was talking about that, as well as how the government might help finance it. How much of a difference would this make, this president's call for this expansion of nuclear power?
Well, if it's a real meaningful move on his part, Greg, it would make a big difference, because the U.S. has always led in nuclear power, technology-wise, and frankly, we've been losing our edge because for 30 years, the government has not permitted the construction of any plants, and as a consequence, other places are building them. The president announced two nuclear reactors would get loan guarantees here in the United States today, and right now, China is building four of the same units that still have to get permitted by this government. They're actually constructing them as we speak.
Dan, you mentioned that it would be good if the president was serious about this. What's the proof that he is or isn't serious?
Well, there's a lot of proof that he isn't, to be honest with you, Greg, from our perspective after looking at it. And principally that on the one hand, he's saying we'll be glad to lend you money for the construction of a power plant. On the other hand, his budget this year does away with the nuclear waste a repository at Yucca Mountain, which people have been paying for years. It's the government's responsibility under a law going back to the 1980s to take that nuclear waste and put it into one place. And people have already been charged billions of dollars, and the government has spent over $10 billion, and the nuclear waste repository at Yucca Mountain is being closed under the new budget. So on the one hand, it's sort of like telling people, we're going to subsidize you to buy new cars, but by the way, you can't drive them.
Dan, I know that your organization has done a little bit of calculating as to just how much revenue this government could enjoy as a result of taking the handcuffs off domestic energy exploration. Your number is north of $2 trillion over a certain period of time. Explain how you arrived at that number.
We took a look at a partial lifting of some of the embargoes that we've imposed on our own domestic energy production. But yesterday, the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, the folks who look at energy to make sure that the various states have enough energy going forward, released a study that said that over the next two decades, if the United States does not change its policies and start allowing us to produce energy here at home, we'll lose out on $2.36 trillion and all the jobs that that would create. And that would include things like drilling offshore like every other country does, drilling in ANWR up in Alaska, producing our own energy instead of sending our money abroad to foreign countries. And again, in many cases, Greg, these are just things that the government could do if they let them go forward. Money would flow to the Treasury, jobs would be created, we could put people back to work and create more of our own energy instead of propping up those things that need subsidies in order to get by, which is the general approach of the Obama administration. If it moves, they want to tax it. If it keeps moving, they want to regulate it. And if it stops moving, they want to subsidize it.
Another issue that relates very closely to what you just talked about is the so-called no-cost stimulus act up on Capitol Hill. David Vitter, John Shattuck have pushed this over the past few months, basically suggesting what you just did, that if you let domestic energy do its thing and remove some of these restrictions, you can do all this at no cost to the taxpayers. Do you think that's legitimate?
I do, as a matter of fact. We've looked at the numbers, and they're stunning, because not only do we create jobs, we create economic growth. And ultimately, Greg, it's the economic growth that will allow us to get back up on the horse and get this economy going. That is why the Chinese have been remarkably successful at moving forward because they've welcomed economic growth in their country. And the United States, frankly, there seem to be some people who sit in parlors in Washington and New York City who believe that they're comfortable enough and don't know the pain that most of Americans are suffering right now. And so when you free up energy, when you put it to work, and when it's produced here at home, it means that we can put our people back to work and make energy cheaper, and that's always a better thing.
Dan, about 60 seconds left here. Let me ask you one question about the larger energy debate. You and I have talked so many times about the cap and trade debate and just what the best policy is to increase domestic production and remove our dependence on foreign energy. With all the controversy now about the climate data research and the massive snowfall we've seen on the East Coast and the colder than usual winter, how much do you think the climate debate has fundamentally changed in just the past few months and weeks?
Much faster than I would have guessed, Greg. To just the last couple days have actually had some of the leading scientists associated with the United Nations, and of course that's where all of this starts, the IPCC, reverse themselves or at least admit that there may not have been any warming for the last 15 years, which goes exactly counter to the Nobel Prize and Al Gore and all the rest of it. And it looks as though the wheels are coming off of this. And honestly, based on the science, I think most Americans should be hopeful for that, because maybe we can get back to work and get back to business instead of squandering money in our future chasing a theology.
Dan, unfortunately, we'll have to call time there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Dan Kish, Vice President for Policy at the Institute for Energy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.